On this week's Eastern Standard, let's talk about cars.
Big as a boat and cobalt blue, what was my fury trying to say? Wake up and see how mad you really are.
The annual Keeneland Concours is happening next week, and as a result, we've invited guests to join us in the studio, and we're inviting you to join us on the line or by email to tell us about your favorite car, your first car, the one that got away. Let's have a good time talking about automobiles and related matters on this week's Eastern Standard. Write to us by email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. You can also post on our Facebook page or send a tweet at WEKUEST. In just a little bit, we'll open the phones as well. It's time for Eastern Standard right after the latest news on WEKU. From the studios of WEKU on the campus of Eastern Kentucky University, it's time for Eastern Standard. Hello, I'm John Hingsbergen. With the annual Keeneland Concours d'Elegance getting underway next week, we're going to talk cars on this week's Eastern Standard program. We'll talk a little bit about this annual event that benefits the Children's Hospital of Lexington, and we will also talk about other things on your mind. We're thinking that maybe we could do something similar to what we did last year at this time, talk about your first car, your favorite car, maybe a car that you wish had never gotten away. We're going to invite you to be part of the program by email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. You can post a note on the WEKU Facebook page, send us a tweet at WEKUEST, or go ahead and call in. I guess you might as well pick up the phone and call now, 800-621-8890. Got a car story you'd like to share with us? We'll hear some car stories from our guests and from others in the community during today's program, but we'd love to hear from you, 800-621-8890. And welcoming now to the studio, I'm welcoming Ken Hold, one of the founding members of the Keeneland Concours. Ken, you have been involved with the Keeneland Concours, what, since the very beginning when it was started up here in Lexington? How long ago is that now? I'm trying to recall.
This is our 12th Concours that we're having this year, and our first show was in 2004. Basically, the way I got involved is I was president of the Porsche Club, and we took a drive to Ault Park, visited the Concours at Ault Park, and said, hey, we can do better than
Ault
that.
Ault Park in Cincinnati?
Ault Park in Cincinnati.
Uh-huh.
And beautiful area, fantastic area. And we said, we can do better than that. And hey, we've got a better venue, a beautiful country. And so we started putting it together. And one of our members, Tom Jones, who had experience putting Concours together, stepped up and said, hey, I know something about putting a Concours together. And so we said, hey, sounds like you can do it.
Well, let's
and
talk
he
about,
has.
Let's talk about how this year's Concours is coming together and how the annual event has grown as we progress during today's program. We also want to welcome George Schweichel. George is Director of Field Operations for the Keeneland Concours. Likewise, both of you guys are members of the board, executive committee, leaders in making this thing happen every year. George, talk about your background, your involvement.
Good
in
morning.
Concours.
That is correct. I'm a member of the local chapter of the Sports Car Club of America, and we conduct autocrosses and have a small public address system. And I was approached early on to borrow our little, small, minor public address system. And the hook went out. And I was hooked and have been involved in the Concours ever since.
From a small public address system to now, you're the guy who kind of watch. Don't you supervise all the logistics of making this thing happen?
I plan the show field and the overall layout. So they call me show field director, but I like to say I'm in charge of grass and dirt.
Ah.
So I create a map along with everybody else, and we locate all of our show cars. We like to say that it's actually a three-tier car show. So the Concours d'Elegance, the classical Concours d'Elegance, where cars are invited and are judged, is the main show. And surrounding that is a whole line of local car clubs. And then beyond that, anybody with a special interest car is actually parked beyond that arc. So in a lot of Concours, you always go out into the parking lot to see what is interesting out there. And we like to say that we have three tiers of organized car candy, if you will, where people can walk amongst the judged cars, the cream of the crop, and walk among all the car clubs, and then anything beyond that, any special interest car is there.
It's amazing how much of our culture is built around the automobile. Thank you, Henry Ford, and the folks who were at the same era were developing automobiles. There are races, of course. People are NASCAR followers. There's drag racing versus the NASCAR type vehicles. And this is a car show. I guess what I want to get at is what sets the Concours apart from other automobile related events. In general, it's kind of a high end sort of an event.
Well, that's where our Concours is different than any other Concours in North America. Basically, the Concours is the concept is to present the most accurate concept that a designer has for the car. I mean, the least minute detail is important, and the judged cars are based on the judging is based on how accurate the cars really are. So they're pristine cars. And that's what most Concours are kind of stop at that area. What we've done, which is different, is by, like George said, is having the three tiers. We're trying to have the Lexington community involved, the car community involved. And so the next step is people will bring their favorite cars. And these are cars that you've seen your neighbor working on in his driveway. You've seen presented at local car shows around the city. And they will be immediately adjacent to these juried cars. And some of these cars are like we've had $10 million, $7 million cars and next to a car that may be a $30,000 car. But the thing is, they're passionate folks. They're equally passionate about their cars. So that's a thing that's unusual about our Concours. So it's appreciating the art of the high-end cars and having them judged for competition. And there is a whole group of these competitors that go from Concours to Concours to Concours, because it's sort of like having a horse that wins races. When you have a Concours car that wins more Concours, it's worth more. And so that's one big piece. But my focus, and I'm the car club contact, so I work with like 13 different car clubs throughout the year with their events and putting together events. And the fun there is for people to bring, well, their family, their neighbors, their relatives. They'll come and see Dad's car in the paddock area, which is what we call it. So that's the different approach.
I mean, I'm just thinking of almost everyone, and we know, drives an automobile, and some of us are car lovers. Some of us just basically know how to get in, put the key in, and check the oil once in a while. And I wonder if those tires need air. But you guys are what do we call them? Motorheads, I guess, or guys who kind of get into the real detail of what's inside that vehicle.
Aficionados. Yes, we are. And our car show, a lot of our likes and desires actually span the range of what the cars we have in the Concours. Looking at our classes, we have 17 classes, different classes. Class 1 is antique cars up to 1924. Class 16 is future classics, 2000 and on up. So we have everything in between there in the judged cars, and then in the car club area, you'll find I could just pick one here. One of the car clubs is the British Sterling Club, and it's for British cars. And I'm sure you'll see old MGs all the way through more modern Jaguars. So the car clubs themselves will have a range of cars. The special interest cars can be anything. We've had Rolls Royces down in our special interest car class because somebody just wanted to bring his Rolls Royce out.
We've had four GTs in there. So, yeah. I mean, they're just phenomenal.
So there's something for everybody to see, and there are some commercial displays. McLaren, which is a very, very prestigious, well, it's a British Formula One team, and they're making their own cars now. So they will have a car on display.
All right. We're talking cars on this week's Eastern Standard, talking the Keeneland Concours. We're going to talk with our listeners. In just a few moments, by the way, we're going to check in with the Corvette Museum. You may recall last year there was a big news story. I guess it was early in 2014 or late 2013. A sinkhole gobbled up a bunch of these gorgeous Corvettes that were on exhibit, and apparently the museum has recovered quite well and is actually prospering. And we're going to check in with Katie Frasinelli of the Corvette Museum in just a few minutes. We're interested in hearing from you. We know that Gary from Stanton is on the line, and we'll get to him during the next segment of the program as well. We'd like to hear your car stories. What about your first car, your favorite car, maybe the car that got away that you wished that you had never let go of? Of course, you know, you live long enough, we look back and go, gosh, that 65 Corvair that I started out with, wouldn't it be fun to have that today? You wonder where it is. It's probably, you know, I don't know what they do with the metal when they crunch them up.
The value of old cars, of lots of different old cars, has just exploded. The first car I actually purchased for myself was a 1962 Alfa Romeo Spider, and I paid $2,200 for it. And it was a used car, and I saw the same car, the same color, restored to an absolutely museum level quantity, and the price tag, the asking price, was $198,000.
Wow.
So I can't go back in time and get my earlier version of that. And there, you said you had a Corvair. There's a Corvair Club. The Corvair mm-hmm. Club actually had their national convention in Lexington several years ago.
Considering some of the technical and mechanical issues that existed with those, it's surprising. I guess there are Corvairs on the roads.
So there are.
I'm surprised that they are. Ken, in the couple of minutes we have before we need to take a station break, your first car, with the first one that you actually, you know, was, and I know many of us had a hand-me-down to get started, but the first one that really you consider your first car?
Ford Fairlane 500. Had a 292, punched out 60,000s to 325, full race cam, solid lifters, four-barrel Holley, high-speed rear end.
What year?
1957.
57 Ford Fairlane.
Love that car.
These have round taillights on them?
Yeah, with big fins. Big fins.
These are the kinds of things we want to hear from our listeners. Tell us about your first car. Tell us about one that you remember that you wish you still had today. And we will get to our callers on the line at 800-621-8890. We're going to hear from a couple of well-known folks who tell us about their some car stories that they have during today's program on this week's Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. Our phone number, 800-621-8890. Send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send us a tweet. Follow us on Twitter at WEKUEST. Or go to the WEKU Facebook page. Post a picture. How about on the Facebook page or by Twitter? Post a picture of a car that was meaningful to you, one of your favorites. Got a picture of that first car? I need to go back and look for some pictures of I remember, I think we all, with some of those earliest cars, we probably all took pictures with those automobiles. So post some of those for us. That'd be kind of fun to be able to go back and look on the Facebook page later today, later this week. Go to the Facebook page and let us know about your cars, or give us a call now, 800-621-8890. Coming up in just a few minutes, Katie Frasinelli of the Corvette Museum.
My name is Michael Benson. I'm president of Eastern Kentucky University, and I remember my very first car because I was a sophomore at Brigham Young University, where I did my undergraduate degree, and I bought a CRX, a little Honda. It was a hatchback. They don't make it anymore, but I bought it for $5,000. My parents helped me with the financing. I had a monthly payment, and I was working a summer camp, and I was supervising this field of kids. And they told me that the big water jugs were ready to go pick up at the kind of central facility.
Yeah.
So I was trying to impress my supervisor, and I said, well, I'll go in my car and go pick them up. So I hop in my car, and I do get these two big you know, coolers full of ice water.
Mm-hmm.
And the hatch was open.
Yeah.
And I remember they weren't really secure, but I thought, it's just down the street. I'll be okay. Well, I hit a bump, and you can imagine what happened. Both coolers fell forward.
Yeah.
And I had this rush of cold water that went throughout my car.
All up into the
cabin.
Yeah. Did people see it, or did you just have to regale?
No, I felt it. I'll tell you, it was incredibly cold.
Thank you, President Michael Benson of Eastern Kentucky University, for your car story, for being part of today's Eastern Standard. A little preview in about 20 minutes. We will hear from Kentucky's poet laureate. She wrote a poem for us about cars, and we will hear that on today's program. 800-621-8890. We have a few callers on the line, probably one line at least open for you if you'd like to be part of today's program. With us in the studio, Ken Hold, founding member of the Keeneland Concours, George Schweichel, director of field operations for the Keeneland Concours, the big car show happening at the Keeneland next week. And on the line now, we have Katie Frassinelli, marketing and communications manager at the National Corvette Museum in Bowling Green. Katie, we spoke with you about this time last year. Thanks for being on with us once again.
Thanks for having me.
What's been going on down there? Now, again, when was the sinkhole that swallowed up the Corvettes? Is that a year and a half ago now?
Yes, it was February 12, 2014.
And I'm sure you all went through some interesting times considering what was going to happen, how to proceed. Talk about, in general terms, what happened there, what has happened since in terms of recovery at the Corvette Museum. I understand you're prospering. The museum is doing well.
Yes, our attendance is up. The Sky Dome is repaired. We're starting to put cars back on display in that room. One of the sinkhole Corvettes has been repaired and is back on display. One is in the middle of being fixed. It'll return Labor Day weekend. One of them we will be restoring hopefully sooner rather than later. And then the other five are going to stay on display as is.
So you've had this tragedy, as it were, with the cars, but the museum has recovered. Talk about the scope of attendance and involvement and interest in the museum. Do you have memberships? If that's the case, have those memberships increased? There's been a lot of interest, right?
Yes, our attendance last year was up 69% over 2013. And then even this year, the first part of the year, we were up, I think, about 6% over even last year, which is great. I expect that to taper off somewhat. But our memberships have been up, store sales are up, raffle tickets. Our raffles have been selling out. We raffle off a Corvette about twice a month. So everything's been really good. We're lucky that no one was hurt. No one was here when it happened, and the room was fixable. It looks better than new, and we're excited to get the room back open and all the cars out and welcome people back to that area of the museum.
Ken and George here with me in the studio are involved with the Keeneland Concours d'Elegance. Guys, have any questions or stories you'd like to share with Katie about the Corvettes?
Well, I visited the museum last year and saw the display and actually saw the security camera that illustrated the floor collapsing. It was interesting but really sad to see as you walk down the row of cars. They went from slightly damaged to one that looked like it was a roll of tinfoil crumpled up in your hands.
Yeah.
And that car that was so crumpled, has that been restored, Katie?
No, it's one that we're leaving as is.
Tell us about it. Its model and its origins and its history beyond
well,
before
it
became an icon of destruction, I guess.
Sure, it was a Z06 with a mallet hammer conversion. It had been donated to us almost 2 months prior. So we had just gotten that car in December, and it had just been put on display in that particular spot 2 weeks, I think, before the sinkhole happened. So it had a lot of performance modifications on it, and it's just damaged beyond repair. I mean, there's not anything left on it that could be reused to rebuild it.
The vehicles that you exhibit at the Corvette Museum, they're all donated?
No, most of them are on loan from private individuals because we like to keep our displays fresh and ever-changing. However, the museum does own, I think we're up to almost 65 Corvettes. So some of those are on display and some are in storage. We do VIP plant and museum tours. So our VIP tours get to go behind the scenes and see a few more cars that are not out for the public to see. So no two visits to the museum are the same. We do like to rotate the exhibits out. And, in fact, right now we have a special NASCAR exhibit. It's called From Moonshine to Finish Line, and we have 14 cars as part of that display from a 1940s moonshine runner. That's how NASCAR got its start, were people that were running from the law, hauling their moonshine. And Junior Johnson, famous NASCAR driver, he was one of the first moonshine runners. That's how he got his start. So we have one of his cars. We have a King Richard Petty car, Darrell Waltrip, Dale Jr., Dale Sr., Mark Martin, Greg Biffle, Kurt Busch, Jimmy Johnson, Jeff Gordon. So,
and these are all
wide variety.
These are all
No, these are all NASCARs, actual NASCARs from, you know, some of the very early ones on up to the cars of today.
So that, yeah, I give away my ignorance about automobiles when I start asking questions about it. Well, Katie, thank you so much for your time and updating us. Ken, did you have anything you wanted to ask of Katie before we let her go?
No, I guess one comment and then one question. One of my I was into Corvettes before I was into Porsches, and one of my Corvettes was a 1981, which was one of the first of the Bowling Green cars, and it had a distinction of having the longest hood and the lowest horsepower. So it had 195 horsepower. It was kind of interesting.
Oh, wow.
But it was a beautiful, beautiful car.
Well, Katie, very briefly, give us the rundown. If folks who want to come down and check out the Corvettes or the NASCAR vehicles down there.
We're at I-65, exit 28 in Bowling Green, Kentucky. CorvetteMuseum.org is our website. 800-53-VET is our phone number. We're open daily, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. So come and check us out.
Katie, one other comment. You've opened a new track right across the interstate, as I believe. Is that correct?
We have. We have a 3.15-mile road course and an autocross and skid pad area. We have events pretty much every single weekend this year. Most of them are high-performance driving events, some motorcycle events, a few competitive-type events. But this year, spectating is free, and, you know, people can come and watch. People can bring their own car and participate in a lot of these events. We also offer hot laps where, for a fee, you can get a ride in one of our Corvettes, or you can do a touring or parade lap, which is drive your own car on the track for a fee, and that's pretty much all cars welcome. So a little bit of something for everybody.
Sounds like a great day trip or mini vacation. Katie Frasinelli of the Corvette Museum, that web address once again.
CorvetteMuseum.org and MotorsportsPark.org.
All right, Katie, thank you so much for being with us. All the best, and we'll have to get down there and check out the place.
Take care. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. We're talking cars on this week's Eastern Standard. The context is the annual Keeneland Concours d'Elegance. That happening next week in Lexington at the Keeneland Race Course, race track, I guess we call it. And we want to get listeners involved in our conversation. Let's go and talk to a listener. First up, we'll talk to Gary from Stanton, Kentucky. Gary, you still on the line there?
Gary?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for being on the air. Go right ahead.
Yeah, my first car that I remember that I really liked was a 49 Chrysler Windsor. Dad bought it for me. It had about 26,000 miles on it. We got it in 1968, I think it was. And, you know, I drove that thing for a long time as a teenager. Right now, since I've gone on further in life and had many other cars, we're driving a 94 Plymouth Grand Voyager SE. It has a 3.3-liter engine. We've got, we bought it new, it has 383,000 miles on it right now.
Wow.
And it still runs like new. I like it because it has a timing chain, and, of course, my son-in-law had a car with timing belts, and he's broken two of them. The second time he broke it, he just sold the car, so. I just don't like timing belts, I like timing chains, and, hopefully if I get me another car, I'd like to get me something, few years older that still has a timing chain, because many cars today are going to timing belts, aren't they?
Yes.
Gary, this is George. That's wonderful. I've had cars that have had timing belts break, and I always like to say the god of internal combustion dictated that real cars should have timing chains.
Hey, Gary, this is Ken. Since you early on were a Chrysler fan, I don't know if you're aware, but the mark for the current year is Maserati. So we have a big display with Maseratis and their feature, our featured car. Next year.
Oh, I love them, yeah.
Well, next year it'll be Chrysler.
All right.
We're working we're working numbered cars, yeah.
I had somebody offered to buy my Plymouth Voyager the other day. He had one before, and I guess he wants another one.
Wow, a minivan.
So there's still life there's still life left in yours after 300,000 miles.
Well, it runs like new, and it has over between 30,000 and 40,000 miles of mountain gravel road.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Gary, thank you so much for being part of our show. Gary from Stanton, Kentucky, on this
thank
week's you. Eastern Standard. We're talking cars, your favorite car, your first car, one that got away, a story you'd like to share with us on the program. You can write to us by email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com, although it's a whole lot easier and more interesting on the radio to hear your voice if you are willing to give us a call at 800-621-8893. 800-621-8890. Let's talk to Mike from London. Thank you, Mike, for staying on the line. You still have your first car?
Yes, I do. I'm still driving it today. When I was 16, I got up on my birthday, and my dad had me a brand-new Chevrolet step-side pickup truck. Mm. I had a V6 4.3, and I'm still driving it 28 years later. It's got 350,000 miles on it and going strong.
What year is this?
91.
91. What a dad.
Yeah.
What a birthday that was. Wow.
Yeah, that was great. I drove it to Florida, and I can't even count how many times. And when I was younger in Myrtle Beach on vacation, it's been driven. And the only oil that I've ever put in it since day one is Rotella T15W40.
That's pretty good. That's a diesel truck oil. That's one of the better oils. I use that in some cars, too.
Yeah, I live by that oil. I think it's great.
It just shows that if you take good care of a car, it'll last a long time.
And oil's a key.
Yeah.
Oil is a key.
Well, I mean, like in terms of changing the oil and things like that, are there other things that you maybe could offer as advice to those of us who are less talented or knowledgeable about automobiles? You know, I love having an automobile, but it's like I wish I could just, you know, make them go away because they seem to be nothing but headaches and heartaches and expense. How does one keep a car alive that long?
If you take care of your car will take care of you. You change the oil in it just like you, just like you take care of your body. You have to change the oil in it because it will break down and it'll wear. It'll put wear on your engine if your oil isn't good. It's broke down.
When will you get a new car?
Oh, I've got a new car. I have a new van because I have two little girls now. I'm a minivan driver now. But I'll always keep my truck. I drive it to work sometimes just to drive it.
Wow. Great story, Mike. Thank you so much for being part of our show today.
All right. You guys have a good day.
Take care. That's Mike from London on today's Eastern Standard. 800-621-8890. Your car story, your first car, your favorite car, the one that got away, what's on your mind as we talk about cars? We're not exactly car talk here today, but we can have a little bit of fun with the concept of automobiles and their place in our lives. The Keeneland Concours is a big deal in Lexington every year, and one thing we've not talked about is the nonprofit element of the show and what happens with the funds that come in for the Keeneland Concours. Ken or George, you able to give us some background on what's involved? How much money is actually raised for Children's Hospital?
Well, we have one charity, and that's the Kentucky Children's Hospital. They've been our designated charity since the first year, and over the 11 years previous, we're at around three quarters of $1 million. So it's been an excellent fundraiser. But even more important, I think, for our charity is the awareness. People love cars. What we find is it's opening up a big audience letting people know about the Kentucky Children's Hospital. And also we find that the folks at the hospital really enjoy having us as a contributor because they align with CARS. And it's fun to have them get involved to the extent that they do. The doctors feel very rewarded from that. And the kids, it's just wonderful to have them involved. So,
one of the things we do, we actually have junior judges that, we give a children's trophy in addition to the regular Concours trophy. We actually give the young kids some training, and they walk the field, and using these guidelines, they choose the car they like best. Another thing we're doing this year, we're aligned with an activity called Bring a Kid to a Car Show. So we're trying to make our car show, our Concours, our overall experience a little more kid-friendly. When you walk through the entry, now most of the local people, this isn't a big deal, but when you walk onto the show field, you actually walk through a horse race starting gate that Keeneland tows over for us. And you walk through, when you come through there with a kid, this year we have a coloring book. And all the kids can get a coloring book and crayons, and they can walk around. Some of the cars will be identified as kid-friendly cars, and that means that that particular owner can take time off from his preparation and talk to the kids, explain what the car is like, why it's like, what they've done to it, and so forth. So we're actually emphasizing, we're trying to become identify ourselves as a kid-friendly activity.
Wow. Okay.
More of a family activity.
Yes.
Get everyone involved.
And we actually should summarize the dates of the event. I know the big public event is Saturday, a week from this Saturday. But things actually get underway earlier in the week?
Earlier in the week, on Thursday, we have a bourbon tour, which is basically a group of folks that have scheduled the tour early on, and they're going to be visiting a distillery and having a lunch and that sort of thing. And on Friday, we have a hangar bash, and that's at the Aviation Museum of Kentucky. And by the way, you can go online to purchase tickets for these events, and that's at www.keenelandconcours.com.
C-O-N-C-O-U-R-S.
Keenelandconcours, all one word. And then Saturday's the big show, opens at 9 o'clock till 4:30. And on Sunday, we have the Tour d'Elegance, which is about a 60-mile tour through Kentucky.
We're talking the Keeneland Concours d'Elegance, and we're talking cars on this week's Eastern Standard. In a few moments, Kentucky's Poet Laureate has a poem for us that she wrote specifically for our show today. Today, we're interested in hearing from you, 800-621-8890. Write to us by email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. That number again, 800-621-8890.
My name is George Ella Lyon, and I'm the current Poet Laureate of Kentucky. I was asked for a poem about a car, possibly a first car. I didn't have one, but when I thought about it, there was definitely something to say. So this is it. My first car, a used Fury, whose horn began blaring at 4 a.m. in the parking lot of Razorback Hall. I cursed the owner, only to discover it was my Fury sounding. Then I pounded the steering wheel. Useless. Big as a boat and cobalt blue, what was my Fury trying to say? Wake up and see how mad you really are? A man came from physical plant and snipped the wire that powered her voice. In another year, her dashboard would split down the middle.
Kentucky Poet Laureate George Ella Lyon with a work that she created just for us for our program today. Thank you, Poet Laureate George Ella Lyon. This is Eastern Standard. We're talking cars. We're talking the Keeneland Concours d'Elegance, the 2015 edition of the car show. Is this the 12th year?
12th.
Twelfth year with us in the studio, Ken Hold, the founding member of the Keeneland Concours, and George Schweikel, director of field operations for the Keeneland Concours. And we're inviting our listeners to call in with your stories about cars, your first car, your favorite car, something specific, a story that you'd like to share with us at 800-621-8890. You are certainly welcome to tweet that story at WEKUEST. Post it on the Facebook page. How about some pictures? Maybe post some pictures of some of your favorite cars on the WEKU Facebook page. Tweet them. Maybe create a little dialogue, a little interaction going on there. If you could get those on before the end of the show on Thursday, we can at least point listeners in that direction. But you can also get on the line at 800-621-8890, as Rita has done. Rita, actually representative, state representative Rita Smart, representing Richmond and Madison County, is on the line with us. Rita, Representative Smart, thank you for being with us. Go right ahead.
Thank you. My first car, I'm not sure the date.
It's not the one sitting out in front of your bed and breakfast, is it?
No, no. This would have been in the early 1970s. It was probably a 65 or maybe 67. It was a Dodge Dart. And the way I chose this car was the way it looked. I really didn't have any knowledge about the engines, but it was yellow with a black top, and I thought it was so pretty. Well, it worked out fine, except every once in a while it wouldn't start. It would just choke out. And when I went and took it in for the mechanic to look at, they worked on it, and it still would do this, and it wouldn't do it every time, but I noticed one time that the mechanic stuck a screwdriver in, I guess it was the carburetor, and then it would start. Now, what I just got used to doing was carrying a pencil with me, and whenever it wouldn't start, I would just open the hood and stick that pencil, and it would hold that open, and I'd jump back in the car, and it would start.
That's good.
Well, that worked out pretty good till the cold weather came and if it were raining. But I really liked that car because of the way it looked.
That, again, was a 65?
Well, I'm not sure the year, but I knew it was a Dodge Dart. It was yellow.
Dodge Dart.
Bright yellow with a black top. Mm-hmm. But the other thing I wanted to thank your guests for doing this program, because as a state legislator, one of the things that we're always interested in is tourism in Kentucky, and this is a wonderful opportunity to market our state and have tourists from all parts of the state and other states, and I don't know, maybe even other countries come to this, but thank them so much for what they're doing for tourism.
Well, a wonderful point, Representative Rita Smart. Guys, talk about where people are coming from and the international as well as the folks from out of state coming in for
Concours. We do get an award. I believe we're in the top 10 of a Southeast.
Yeah.
We get an award for tourism in Kentucky, and then another award for the region.
But do you have any figures on how many people are coming in from out of state? Or?
We really don't track that. I know with the Porsche Club, we'll typically have anywhere between 100 and 115 Porsches. And one time we looked at the license plates, and we had Porsches from five different states, all the local states. And then, of course, we'll get people. Some of our entrants, of which we'll have George 150 entrants
yes.
with cars. They're from all over North America, and they'll bring people with them. So we'll have folks from Florida, from California, just all over North America. Actually, had folks that, and this is anecdotal information, but had folks, a couple of folks buy homes here in Lexington because people didn't realize how beautiful the horse country is. And horse people and car people tend to be of a different ilk, and what we've tried to do is to combine those. We have actually horse farms that are active in our Concours, awarding trophies, being sponsors, things like that, and when people come with cars, they see a lot of similarity, you know, in the horse industry, and they just become enthralled.
Well, they call it horse power, don't they?
Well, it can be thoroughbred horses and right. thoroughbred cars, yes, exactly.
Rita Smart, Representative Rita Smart, thank you for calling in and being part of our show today.
Thank you.
This is Eastern Standard. We're talking cars on this week's show, 800-621-8890. And let's see if Virginia from Lexington is still on the line, on line four. Virginia?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, thanks for hanging in there. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Thank you very much. The first car I recall was, and I'm 87 years old, so the first car that I recall was an Essex that my father owned. It was black and yellow, and he was in the radio business with RCA, and so he had Stan the Radio Man on the side of it in black letters on yellow, and we would drive it in, I was a passenger, of course, we would go in parades with this in a small town with this automobile, and he had a speaker on top, you know, so that he could play music through that, and it was quite an interesting car. It had a rumble seat. And then my favorite car, however, I was 32 years old, best looking I ever was, and it was a black and yellow Ford convertible. And I came home one day, and my husband had traded it in for the most unusually ugly Buick, blue Buick I ever saw. I said, "Where's my car?" And he said, "I traded it." Oh, and I was furious, and he said, "What are you so mad about?" I said, "Truck drivers won't honk at me anymore."
Sounds like you might have traded him in, huh?
Yeah, I thought about it. But anyway, that's the story I wanted to tell you. And then my father at one time had an auto shop, and he in Rockport, Indiana, in the 1920s, before I was even born, and he had a Marmon, which was a very expensive car. And the governor even borrowed it at one time to ride in a parade. And he finally, he had nobody rich enough to buy that car except a bootlegger. A bootlegger came through, and he needed a fast automobile. And so he is the one that bought the car and got away.
Wow. Fascinating, Virginia. Multiple phases to your story. Thank you so much for being part of our show today. What are you driving today?
I am driving a Volvo station wagon, 2008, and I love it. Adore it. It's a good car.
A safe and comfortable vehicle.
It is, and thank you for your interesting program.
Virginia, my wife bought when we were in California, bought a 1995 Volvo station wagon. That's been our favorite car. She's turning 245,000 miles on it. I love driving it.
Oh, I believe it. I mean, they're
a 960.
Good cars, there's no doubt about it. They're safe. They're wonderful, easy. They don't drive like station wagons.
There is a public radio stereotype about public radio listeners driving Volvos, of course.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Virginia, thank you so much for being part of our show. 800-621-8890. Still time to get a caller or two on during today's program. We're talking cars in the context of the annual Keeneland Concours d'Elegance, the car show, kicking off, Thursday, a week from our date of our live show today, Thursday, July 16th. What is that event again, Ken?
Well, that's going to be the Bourbon Tour, and that's filled already. So
how could I have forgotten the Bourbon Tour?
I don't. And we're really developing some taste for bourbon from other folks, too. But the Hangar Bash on Friday night, which is 7 p.m. to 11 p.m., and then the day of the show is on Saturday, gates open to the public at 9 o'clock and lasts till 4:30. And then the Tour of d'Elegance is on Sunday, and that's from 9 to 2.
When people come out on Saturday to Keeneland and dads come with their kids, moms and dads bring their little ones, and they want to, you know, maybe they're like me and not really very knowledgeable. Like, you know, some folks can point out to the kids, hey, look at this, and maybe some of the features of some of the vehicles. How can people know more about the cars that they're seeing when they come out, and even if you're not that knowledgeable about them?
Yeah. Another thing that we do, which no other Concours does, is we put a program book together. It's $15. and you can buy it at the gate or on the show field. The different thing about our book is it's done every car that's on the field is in the book, and it talks about the owners, talks about all the basic characteristics of the cars. So most Concours, the attitude with their programs is, one, they don't have very much information on the cars. It's more of hyping the Concours, and they're from last year's Concours. We go through our car acquisition folks really work hard all year getting pictures and information, and it goes into the program book. So you can get that information that way.
I just took a picture of the book that Ken showed us and just sent it out to our Twitter account at WEKUEST. So just add a little visual element to our program.
We believe we're the only Concours in the country with a hardcore program. It's a regular hardcore book.
I have a number of these in my possession. I've had from the last couple of years. These are fascinating. And, wow, what a coffee table book.
The quality is phenomenal. The work is – it's a ton of work. The other thing that can happen is every vehicle that's judged has a description in front of us. It'll tell you everything about the car. And then the owners are at the cars, and, of course, they love to talk about their cars. And then if you go down into the paddock, the owners down there love to have people around and just spend as much time as they want.
Each year the Keeneland Concours has a theme. Have we talked about this year's theme?
Well, this year it's Maserati, and next year it'll be Chrysler. So we're already working to get the Chrysler cars coming in.
So, but you don't have to know anything about Maseratis or care about Maseratis. If you'll see cars of all models, makes, years. Again, the range that George was talking about earlier here, from the classics all the way to the future classics.
We even have a class this year for trucks.
Yes. Well. And in the paddock, we have expanded to where we have Asian sports cars. So the folks that run the tuner cars are very passionate about their vehicles. You can come and see those as well.
We still have a few moments for your car story, your favorite car, your first car, the car that got away that you wish you had never let go. 800-621-8890, our number. Get on the line quickly, and we'll be glad to get you into the program. Our show is live on Thursday mornings between 11 and 12, and then repeats on Sunday evening. So if you're listening on Sunday night, sorry, too late. Every once in a while, we do get a phone call on Sunday evening. And that we understand how frustrating that must be to try to participate in the show. So please feel free to jump on board, 800-621-8890. What is perhaps the most unique element of this year's Keeneland Concours? A vehicle that we know is going to be there, someone who's going to be there, an event or part of this year's show?
We do have what we call a rotating class. Each year we'll have a non-standard class. One year we had hot rods. One year we had wooden boats. This year we're having trucks from 1932 to 1960. And then one of our standard classes is something called Lost Legends. So these are the cars that are not made anymore. So
we at one of our Concours, we actually had five Lexington cars, the only five
Lexington cars.
they were produced in Lexington and then in Indianapolis, Indiana. And we had the only five that we know of in existence.
And when we talk about trucks, you talk about the 1932 to 60, did you say?
1932 to 1960.
What is the definition? Are we talking pickup trucks? Or?
They're pickup trucks. I can actually... if we have time here, while I'm looking
for why don't I get Chuck on the air? Okay. Chuck is on the line from Lexington. Chuck, thanks for being part of this week's Eastern Standard. We've got about a minute or so for your story. Go right ahead.
Yeah, my first car was a 1956 Ford Fairlane two-door hardtop.
All right.
And it was the ugliest green I ever saw, but it had nice white sidewall tires. And I bought it in 59, so it was still fairly new. And it served me well until on a trip I started to notice a pinging sound under the hood. And I was able to make it back home, but I had to take it to a garage, and there was a mechanic that knew what he was doing. And one of the oil line holes in the V8 block was stopped up. And he said, this can ruin your engine, of course. So I'll never forget what he did. He went over to some junk he had, and he found a drill rod that was just exactly the right size to go into that hole, and he whacked it with a mallet, and the oil started flowing just like it should. It was a miracle to me, but I was glad that he saved my first car.
Wow, that's fascinating. And with today's modern cars, it's, whacking them with a mallet doesn't really work as well as it once did, I guess.
No, that was back in the days when you raised the hood, you could look down into the motor compartment and actually see the ground below.
There was some room in there. Chuck, thank you. Thank you. We're running out of time here. Thank you so much for that story on this week's show. George Schweichel, you were looking on the info about the trucks.
Right. Because Ford trucks are popular, we have a 1933, 1934, 1936. We have a Ford pickup from Vinta, Oklahoma. We have an International pickup, a Plymouth pickup, and a Dodge. So these are all two 1946, 1947. Most of them pre-war then. So, and these are all restored trucks and will be judged for their excellence.
Excellent. Well, George Schweichel, thank you for being part of our program. George, board member for the Keeneland Concours, director of field operations the event each year. Ken Hold, a founding member of the Keeneland Concours, both of you guys board members, the executive committee, helping to make this thing happen.
Also, we will have a 1929 Model A hearse in the paddock.
Oh, wow. Another one of those specialty vehicles.
And one last call very, very quickly. As with all large activities, we need volunteers. If you are interested in volunteering, our website, www.keenelandconcours.com, and there's actually a form on there where you can contact if you're interested in volunteering.
Excellent. More information available there, keenelandconcours.com. This is Eastern Standard, a program that is live on Thursday mornings. The show repeats on Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. It will be available as a podcast on our website. You can download it or listen to it directly from the website at weku.fm. We want to thank our producer for this week's show, Noah Day. Brian Bartlett has been at the controls. And we want to thank you for tuning in and for participating in this week's Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations.